If you weren't here for Sunday school, I mentioned that a verse that spoke to my heart this week was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, that says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God." And I mentioned how that verse spoke to my heart, that what we do as Christians, we get to do in Christ's stead. And I realize that applies to what I'm about to do now. Again, Christ could have chosen to be here and preach this morning, but that was not part of his plan. And so I get to, in his stead, stand and speak. But here's what I wish this morning as I was thinking about that. I wish that I could take each one of you, one by one, individually, and we could go over here and sit down on this front pew, and I could just draw a circle around us, and we could just spend a few minutes talking one-on-one. I'd love when we have a crowd on Sunday. But this morning, I just sort of like to quit the crowd and talk to you as an individual. Sort of like, you know, going into the forest and forgetting about all the trees except for one. Or looking at a bouquet and forgetting about all the flowers except for one. Or like instead of addressing the army, address the individual soldier. Or quit the class and teach one student. This morning, I wish that I could sit down with each of you and mention four things to you. But since I probably don't have the time to do that, nor do you, I just ask you to think that we are sitting one-on-one, and I could look you straight in the eye, and I could mention to you four things. The four things that I would mention to you all come from these four verses that we read from Isaiah chapter 43. And these things are blessed, blessed thoughts that every single person here needs to know are true and are things that God desires that you just know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Here they are. Number one, I would tell you, if we could sit one-on-one and I could talk to you, I would tell you that God loves you. God loves you. He said in verse 4, "Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee." You say, "Preacher, I know that because the Bible says he loves the whole world." I know that the Bible says that, but this morning I want you to know that he loves you as an individual. I know the Bible says that he loves all nations in the world. I know that's true. But this morning, I want you to focus on the truth that he loves you. We read John 3:16, we quote John 3:16, and we say, "For God so loved the world." What I'd like you to say this morning is, "For God loves Vestal, and God loves Daryl, and God loves Ray." And I wish I had time to just mention everybody's name, because he loves us as individuals. And I know of no better thing that I could tell you this morning, that he loves you, 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 you as an individual. I love that little song that we sing often. "I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me." And he loves you. I looked at the sun several days this week. Isn't it great to see the sun in the sky? And I said to myself, the one that made that sun loves me. I went out a couple nights and looked at the moon and the stars. And I said, the one that set the moon in place and the one who knows the names of every star in the sky loves me. The one who warmed up the weather. I love this time of year. The days are warm and the nights are cool. I got all my windows cranked up and it's a little chilly. I just snuggle up underneath the quilt. I just love this time of year. But you know what? The one that made the warm days and the one that has given us the cool nights, he loves me and he loves you. He who set the stars like diamonds in the blue, he who placed the rainbow with its seasoned hue, He who carved the mountains and the gorges into view, he who passes the old away and maketh all things new, bends his lips to us below and whispers, I love you. I believe that there is a hell. I believe that those that die without Christ go to hell and spend an eternity. I believe that we have a God who is a God of justice. And one day, all men who don't know Christ will stand before him. And all those things are true. And I preach on that subject often because I want to warn you that if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to be separated from God forever. But this morning, I want to raise up the truth, the blessed truth, that God loves you. He says, I have loved thee. The second thing I would point out to you is that he calls you by name. Isaiah 43, verse 1, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Do you know that God knows your name? Now listen, I work hard at remembering people's names. And I think I could go up and down the pews and for the most part get everybody's name right. I mean, I may not get them all, but I'll come close. But you know what? God knows your name. And he not only knows your name, he knows you. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. Some of us, Brother Paul, it's getting easier for him, right? To know the number of the hairs on our head. I won't show you this little spot I have developing in the back of my head. I've got me some shoe polish that I'm going to use if it gets too bad. But he knows the hairs that are on our head. He knows what you have experienced this week. We have one of our dear ladies that lost her brother this week. We need to pray for Janine. Well, God knows what happened in her life. God knows what's going on in your life. He knows about Junior, who's in the hospital with pneumonia. He knows about Terry, who got to come home from the hospital and is feeling better. Paula, God knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in every single one of our lives. And this morning, he comes and he calls us by name. Now, there's some he's calling, and he says, you need to come to Christ. You're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And he calls you and he says, calls you by name because he knows you. And you may be able to fool us and you may be able to say to this preacher, oh no, I'm not a sinner. I live a good life. I live a righteous life. And it's not important what I know about you. It's important that you know what God knows about you. And God knows that you're a sinner. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. In other words, to be separated from God. Not physical death, but spiritual death. Without Christ, we are separated from God, and we face a Christless eternity. And I've told you many, many times before, the worst part about hell is not the bottomless pit. The worst part about hell is not the darkness. The worst part about hell is not the fire. The worst part about hell is that Jesus is not there. He's not there. And we face that eternity without Christ. And if you're here this morning and you don't know him, our God loves you. You say, preacher, you mean he loves sinners? Yes, you see, at one time we were all sinners. And God proved or commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, he knows you. He knows your name. He knows all about you. He knows what you are letting stop you from coming to Christ. And he calls your name this morning. And he says, come to Jesus. I love you. I want you to live eternity with me in heaven. I don't want you to go to hell. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he calls your name just as sweetly and as gently as he knows how. And he says, I love you. I want to fellowship with you. I want you to come and be with me forever and ever and ever. But the only way you can do that is come to Christ. I sent him to die in your place. I sent him to die for your sins. And he calls you by name this morning. He calls you by name. It's a personal invitation. It's an invitation that God designed exactly for you. You ever stop and think about that? Those most of us here this morning are Christians. Do you ever stop and think that God in his wisdom and his divine plan brought the very things into our life that he knew would make us come to the Savior? I'm glad I had a grandma then with an old crooked finger that kept pointing it in my face and told me, "You're going to go to hell, Darrell, unless you receive Christ." Sometimes she'd say it without tears. Many times she'd say it with tears, "You're going to go to hell if you don't come to Christ." I'm glad he put Grandma in my life. I'm glad he put the other people in my life that caused me to come to Christ. He's put people in your life. He's put this message in your life. He's put friends in your life, your parents in your life, your grandparents. If you had godly parents and godly grandparents that helped you come to Christ, you thank God for them. And he's put everything in your life for one purpose, for you to come to Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you've never received him, he calls your name. You may not be able to hear it with your ear, but if you listen close enough, you can hear it with your heart and with your spirit, because he loves you and he calls you by name and says, "Come to Jesus." He also calls us Christians by name. He says, "Now listen, I know what you're going through. I know what you're worried about. I know what you shed tears on your pillow at night about." He says, "I know all of that. I know all that." He says, "Listen," just like Kim saying a moment ago, he's the God in the valleys. When those rough times come in our life, he is God. And sometimes when we look toward heaven and we think it's made out of brass and we think our prayers are not getting through, Darwin, he knows what you're going through, my friend. He knows. And when we think our prayers are not getting through and we think that God has sort of turned his back on us and he's not hearing when we call, he calls our name again just as gently, as sweetly as he knows how. And he says, "Hey, listen, I haven't forgotten you. I haven't taken my eyes off of you. I know what's going on. I'll never leave you or forsake you." I'm glad that we have a God who never slumbers or sleeps. I'm glad we have a God who never takes his eye off of his children. I'm glad we have a God who knows our name. In those times when we need it the most, if we'll listen, we can hear him call and say, "I'm with you. We'll get through this thing together. We will. We will." He loves you. He calls you by name. And then he reminds us that we belong to him. In verse 1, "I have called thee by name. Thou art mine." Oh, I love the fact that I belong to God. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. God says, "You're mine. You're mine. I bought you. I sent my son to pay the price for your sin," as we pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning. "You're mine. I love you. I want you to love me." But I want you to know this morning that when you look at me, you are looking at the property of Jesus Christ. You are looking at the property of God the Father. You are looking at the property of the Holy Spirit. When you look at each other, especially if you know that other person to be a Christian, you are looking at the property of God. Now, I was thinking, it's not one of the main points of my sermon, but it's a good truth. You know, we better be careful how we treat God's property. Amen? Amen? We better be careful how we treat God's property. I'll pick on Brother Darwin since he's sitting up here close. Listen, he got some test results this week that we've been praying about. This is God's property. He belongs to Jesus Christ. This is his mom right here, but he don't belong to her in a sense that he does, but He belongs to Jesus Christ. You know what? I better treat this guy good. I better treat him good because he's the property of Christ. I could say that about every single person in here if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are the property of Jesus Christ. You're his. You're his. And if you're here and you don't know him, he wants you to be his. He wants you to come to Jesus so he can say the same thing about you. You are mine. You're mine. And then the fourth thing, and the last thing that I would tell you, is that when we walk through the fire and when we pass through the waters, he will be with us. He will be with us. That's his promise. Let me read it to you again. Verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. We walk sometimes through the fires of life. We walk sometimes through the hardships that God allows to come into our life. But he says, you won't be burned. Can't help but think of that story that's in the book of Daniel about those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't bow down to the king's idol, to the king's statue that he made. And he said, if you don't bow down when the music plays, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And those three boys said, well, O king, we don't know if our God's going to protect us or not, but it doesn't matter. We're not going to turn our back on him and worship this idol that you've set up. It made Nebuchadnezzar so bad, he told his men, said, heat the furnace up 7 times as hot as we normally heat it up. They tied those three boys up, and I can see big, burly soldiers picking them up and carrying them to the furnace and throwing them in the furnace. In fact, the Bible says the fire was so hot that the men that threw them into the furnace was killed from the heat, so you know it was hot. And after a few minutes, King Nebuchadnezzar looks into that furnace and he says, hey, I thought we threw three men in, and I thought we had them tied up. As I look into the furnace now, I see four of them, four men. They're loose, they're walking around, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. The Son of God. And he called those three boys out of that furnace. And you remember what the Bible says? None of their clothes were burned. They weren't even warm. And they didn't even smell like smoke. You know why? Because when they walked through the fire, God walked with them. He walked with them. He may throw us into some furnaces. He may bring some things in our life that if we could choose, we would say, I'd just soon not have this in my life. But I want you to know this morning, he walks through the fire with us. And it says, he walks through the water. And again, that picture's in my mind, that time when it comes for us to leave this world. That time's either, and I'm sort of hoping it happens through the rapture. Aren't you? I mean, I'd be happy if we were raptured this afternoon. Amen. After lunch, of course. Just teasing. Because we'll eat a lot better in heaven than we do down here. But if we don't get raptured and our days on earth come to an end and we have to cross that river, as the Bible talks about it, it says you won't have to cross it alone. It will not overflow you because I'll be there with you. And again this morning, I wish we could sit looking each other in the eye and I could call each one of you by name. And I could tell you, God loves you. He knows your name and he knows all about you. You're His if you've received Christ, and He wants you to be His if you haven't. And He'll walk through every part of life with us. And the fire won't burn us, and the water won't overflow us, because He's there with us. And if we were sitting just by ourselves, I think we'd do a little bit rejoicing, because, man, what a good God He is. What a good God. Listen, if you don't know Him this morning, why don't you come to Jesus Christ? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't get right with God any other way. The only way is by coming to Jesus. We'll help you do that. I mean, and again, I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to join the church. I think those are good things in time. What I'm asking you this morning is to make sure your relationship with God is right. And the only way you can do that as a sinner is to come to Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises and the good news that's in there, that you did send Jesus to die for sinners. And I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't know Him. They've never yet received the gift of salvation that you offer to every single person. I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would bring them to the Savior. You could help them understand they are a sinner, and there is a penalty for that sin. And either they pay it themselves or they let Jesus pay it. Help them to decide this morning to let Jesus pay the price. Help them to come to Him. They can do it right where they sit, by simply admitting they're a sinner, praying and asking Jesus to save them. Or they could come and we could have somebody take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. So I pray, Father, that you'd bless this invitation. I pray you not only speak to those that are lost, but those that are saved. Help us to rejoice with what we have in Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.